Yeah.
Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened prior to this session, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including all the crazy shit I've been going through since the Jack 4 offsuit debacle, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. That's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And you can do that right now. It just takes a few moments. And not only do you gain access to my whole life story, about 900 hours of private recordings, including part one of this episode, what happened leading up to this session, but you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. So do that right now. I will wait for you. I'll adjust my microphone since my sound guy, he got drunk last night and didn't show up. But I'll do that, and I'll take a sip of my coffee, and we'll wait for you so you can be a patron for this one. It's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. All right, thanks for signing up. I hope you enjoy both all the content and the amazing community. Poker session 135 of 150. Hustler Casino Live, 11/14/22, part 2. The session. So part 1 was the lead up. And sometimes my lead ups are dark, and this one kind of ended very light. I went into this session incredibly relaxed, and the patrons know why. And I was actually concerned that I was too relaxed, that I didn't have any fight in me, and that I wasn't focused. And yeah, so that's different. You're just playing high stakes poker is just. It's just more about your ability to think and execute than anything else, in my opinion. It's not about studying. I don't need to study No Limit Hold'em. I just need to be ready to play. And I felt like I wasn't on this day. And let's see if that matters. So this is, I think, my 29th appearance on stream. I don't have any nerves, no adrenaline. I just kind of have a jelly brain on this day, and that's how it goes. And here's the lineup. In the one seat is Taffo. This guy is really nice guy, just a great element to our show and the poker world. The poker world needs more Taffos, and he is a gamer. He's in the Smash Bros community, and he's played on the show once before. Seat 2 is Haley Ocho. I think her last name is Hostetler, something like that. She is the lead photographer for the World Series of Poker and vice president of Run Good Gear or Run Good Tournament Series. I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm kind of out of the loop with the tournament scene, but she is a prominent figure in the poker world and someone that was just tagged in a tweet, and I said, does she want to play? And she said, sure. And she has done everything leading up to this session that I could ask for. She's been responsive to my messages. When you're trying to coordinate a game on stream and you need videos and you need photos to market the show, it's really nice when you come across people like Haley. She has been on it, just very professional, and she made a video that was fantastic. And these hype videos are very important for the growth of Max Payne Monday and Hustler Casino Live and poker, if you want to go all the way out. So well done, Haley. This is the first time I've met her, just a few minutes before we started playing. Efan in the three seat. Who is Efan? I had no idea. It's someone that Caitlin Kameski reached out to me and said, this guy is awesome on our streams out in Texas. I think he would be a great addition to Hustler Casino Live. Do you think you could squeeze him in? Is it okay if I group message us? And I said, yeah. She seems about as bright as they come, Caitlin does. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'll get him in. And I got him in. And he works for Google. Seat four is Margot Brooke, model and actor and influencer. And she's been on the show a bunch of times. She's a regular. Seat five is Dr. David Namark, my dear friend, who I'm recording this ahead of time. I'm recording this on November 18th, and it's his birthday today. Shout out to David Namark. Happy birthday, man. He's 57 years young. I had someone that was scheduled to play that dropped out the day before. They said they made a day two of a tournament, and that's very poker player-like, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people. The demand for Max Payne Monday is off the charts for good reason. I've not just me, but I've been the driving force behind it. I've created the most fun game there is, and including doing the hype videos. It's just a really fun experience, and therefore everyone wants to play, and it's a really good game. And so someone said I made day two. Well, I was thinking, well, why did you play fucking day one if you knew you were going to be on Max Payne Monday the next day? And that's okay. I'm just telling the story. So the night before, I went out to eat with David, and I said, man, I just had a dropout. Do you want to play? He's played on the show once before, and he actually got up mid-session because a VIP showed up. And so I kind of owed him another appearance, and he's in the five seat. On his direct left, the budding superstar of Max Payne Monday and eventually Hustler Casino Live and the poker world. I'm being a little grandiose this morning, but Sashimi has evolved more than anyone. I met her when Masato was going to play on our stream, and she reached out to me because she was a fan of Masato, and I didn't know who she was. And I said, sure, I'll get you in. And she was very shy, and she wore a mask. And then she said, can I get in? And she played like a nit. She just wanted to, gave no action, didn't talk, whatever. I wasn't critical of that, but she said, I would like to play again. And I was like, I don't know. Like, you got to bring something to the table. That's the way the world works, and for sure that's the way the high-stakes poker world works. People really struggle with this. Why don't I get to play? Why don't I get to play? What are you going to bring to the table? Do you have a strong social media? Are you going to bring new viewers? Are you going to bring crazy action? What are you going to bring? And they're like, well, nothing, but, I want to play. Well, no, you got to bring something. And every player on Max Payne Monday brings something. There's the occasional person that just... I have to get in for one reason or another, but the rule is you got to bring something. And Sashimi didn't really bring anything that first time. And I said, well, if you come back, will you take your mask off and talk and whatnot? Like, she doesn't have to play crazy. You just got to do something, right? And she said yes. And her and I have become friends. And I kind of am a mentor to her, showing her how to do things the right way in poker, the long-term way. And she tilts me a lot at the table, but I couldn't be more proud of her. She is becoming a star on the show. Well, she's a star on our show for sure. And she can take it as far as she wants. She has to, remain loyal to Hustler and Hustler Casino Live, and we will keep putting her in in a position to, you know, become famous and then whatever comes with that. So Sashimi the Star in the sixth seat. In the seventh seat is Chang Lu. I don't know anything about this guy. Supposedly rich from crypto, but crypto is in the shitter currently. So Sashimi got this guy. That's another thing she's done is recruited a lot of players, a lot of crazy action players. This guy didn't turn out to be one, but that's okay. Seat 8 is Sia the Bot. I think one time Nick Airball said, hey, do you need any more women to play on your show? Mars Girlfriend would play. And I said, sure. Well, you know, I think Mars, who plays on the Friday show, I'm sorry, they're building a high-rise next to my apartment. That's what you hear in the background. But Mars, who plays on our big shows, just seems as cool as they come. And sure, let's give his girlfriend a shot. And her pictures, the pictures I used to promote her the first time came from her Instagram. And people were wondering if she was AI because, I don't know, the filters or whatever it is. And so I named her Sia the Bot. I think it's important to have, you know, character development on this show is very important, and some people can just use their name, some people use a nickname. Sia the Bot is fantastic. She's not very emotional, or she's just, you know, she's just a little bit robotic in a good way, and she's really embraced the role of reality poker star very well in the few weeks she's been on the show. And she bluffed me a few times the week before I saw, and I didn't even think she was capable of that. So that'll affect how I'm playing against her on this night. And then in seat 9 is your protagonist, DGAF. And I don't need to introduce myself. I've been around. Okay. So to start off the session, I should say that Trevor Savage, a friend and longtime patron and world-class poker player in his own right out in dirty New Jersey or Philadelphia, wherever the fuck they live, somewhere on the border of those two places, I think, has been doing my notes for me. And that's really a luxury because then I don't have to watch back the show. And I haven't watched back any of the Max Payne Mondays before this one. But this one didn't go, I didn't play, I played my worst in a long time. So when you play your worst in a long time, that's when you go back and study the tape. That's how I work. If I'm cruising along, crushing, making soul reads, and executing, I don't need to watch. I just need to keep it going. When something goes poorly, and that's foreshadowing, but many of you already watched this show, I went back. And so I have his notes plus my own additional notes after watching a lot of the show. So the first thing that happens is Sashimi raises and I call with ace four offsuit. I think she's the button and I'm one of the blinds. And I could three bet, but I'm happy to sometimes just call here. And I know she's just opening incredibly wide. And it comes ace six deuce. I check, she bets. And I call and I induce a punt from her. She has 10-9. She bets on ace 6 deuce. She's always going to do that. But the turn's a 7. I check. And she bets a lot for the pot. And it's not, this is the shit in live poker. It's not, she doesn't do this all the time. If I do something on the flop or pre-flop to make her think I have an ace, she's going to shut it down. I did the opposite. And it's just the way you check, whatever you say. This stuff is very, very important. The best live players are incredibly subliminal, and I was really happy about this one because she punted it off with 10-9 and then went runner-runner, made a straight, didn't even realize she made a straight. She thought she made a pair, and she checked back the river. So I believe I was like 93% to win this one, and I lost. And that's fine. It wasn't an all-in situation. It wasn't for my entire bankroll, but what it was the first stroke of bad luck, of really bad luck, in a while. And if you know my story, I had a year filled with hands like this, where I was man, over 80% or sometimes, you know, over 90% with real money going in, really important pots, and I lost them incessantly. Well, it's taken me 5 years to get over that year in the abyss. But when you get a stroke of really bad luck, it doesn't, you don't care about the chips. It's just, it brings back bad fucking memories. And the next hand of importance, I have 7-6 offsuit, and it comes 10-7-4, and I bet, and Sia check calls, and the turn's whatever, and the river's whatever, and she bets, and I know she's bluffing. And so I call with a 7, and she actually has a 7 as well. It was an interesting bet. We chop. Okay, so it was a good read. She bet a lot on the river compared to the pot, and I had a very weak hand, but my read was correct that she was bluffing, and so everything's going fine so far. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to focus at the table, and everything, my play is good so far. Sashimi got incredibly lucky. Sia happened to be bluffing with a hand that chopped with me, and then I had A7, and I got a read on Efan that he was light, and I think it came, I called a big squeeze, and then it came Jack 8-8, if I recall correctly, and he bet a lot, and I didn't believe him, and I called, and the turn was a 9, I checked, he checked, the river's a deuce, and just in case he had 7 deuce, I bet a lot, I bluffed, and he just had 5 high, but I played that hand as I normally play, and then I had 5-4 in a multi-way pot, and it came 8-7-5, and Haley bet, or called, I think she might have called, and I folded. That's a good fold. It's not, you know, an impossible fold, but on Max Payne Monday, that's a good fold, pair plus gutter, and everything's going fine. So that concern I had over being a jelly brain after a really relaxing, a fun night the night before and a really relaxing day in the best possible way, which I don't think I want to do prior to playing big games. I want to not be too relaxed. But anyways, everything's going fine until this next hand. Let me take a sip of coffee before I talk about it. Okay. So, Tafo open, and he's in the 1, I'm in the 9, but I just sense he's not that strong, and he has an awkward stack if I put in a squeeze after Sia the bot calls. She calls in, you know, one of the blinds, and I squeeze too big. He opened a 120, she called, and I went to 800, and this was just a lack of concentration. I just was thinking that I was thinking he went bigger, that I just didn't do any math, and I got lazy in my subliminal work. The same stuff I did against Sashimi well with the ace-4 offsuit, I did terribly in this hand. I just felt like if I made it a bunch, it would put him in a bad spot and with his stack, and I was right about that. But I underestimated the robot on my right, Sia. And so he folds, and she kind of has that, I know what's going on, and calls. So she thinks I have 7 deuce. And I know what she has. I just really think this call the initial open from the blind, and then call the big squeeze out of position. It's so often a small pocket pair, it's not even funny. So I think she has that, and it comes ace, king, X. She checks. I bet very small. And, the plan is to bet twice, obviously, or a lot of people would fold to this small bet. And the turn's a bad card for me. It's a diamond. Now there are 3 diamonds, and now, like, this is a spot where you're going to check a lot of your hands, but I'm had queen 6 offsuit. I was just trying to steal, and I knew what she had, and I bet again, and she called, and I gave up on the river, and she won with 6s, and I had queen 6, and it's not very often that someone owns me in a poker hand. People can cooler me. I believe in pot odds, so I will pay you. If you make a monster and I have something blocking that, I will pay you. That's how I play poker. I believe in you know, pot odds. I think, wow, you might have a monster here, but I'm blocking it and the price is right and you don't have to have a monster. You're capable. I will pay you. That's fine. That's not owning me. That's just running hot and me not being exploitable. This robot owned me in this hand and I allowed it to happen by being careless. I guess careless is a better word, preflop. So I have the right idea. He opens, she calls. This is a good squeeze spot for me. My hand's dog shit, queen six offsuit, but we're playing on stream and this is live poker. This is not, you don't throw out the fucking preflop charts. Just throw those things in the trash can. And I could have sold it a little better and sized it better, and I didn't. And then, okay, she calls, and now I know what she has, but as my friend Pete once told me a long time ago, and Pete was one of the best players I ever played with, one of the top five no-limit players I ever played with, and then he ran so bad one year, he got out of poker. I've seen this so many times, and I've had this happen, but I just was too dumb to get out of poker. And he just looked at me one time after he couldn't win in a soft game at the Venetian. I think it was 5, 10, 20 or 10, 20 or something. And he looked at me and he said, DGF, after he punted it off, he said, just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. And it just rang true and it still rings true. And just because I know she has a little pair on a horrible board for a little pair, I still have to execute. Because she's not scared money at all, this robot. And I butchered this hand, and it is brutal at showdown. This doesn't usually happen to me. I got owned. Time for a deep breath, and yeah. So then I do believe in momentum in poker. If I get that one through, I think the whole session is different. So if I do something better preflop, or better yet, I recover from my mistake, because we're going to make mistakes. And maybe with my particular hand, maybe I just bet huge once on the flop against her range. I didn't come up with a great plan. And this is what poker is for me. Every poker hand for me is unique. So I don't have any cookie cutter poker strategy. There are certain things we do on autopilot, but this is a very unique spot when you have queen six offsuit and you squeezed too much and you know your opponent has a small pair and it comes ace, king, X, and you know your opponent really thinks you have seven deuce. So this is when my brain is functioning well. I figure out a good plan here and I execute it and the results are great, typically. She doesn't get to win with sixes. The old computer wasn't, it just wasn't working that well, and I didn't come up with a great plan, and I just kind of clicked buttons throughout this hand, and she won a nice pot, and it's not good momentum. I had pocket sevens, and Margot made it, a big percentage of her stack, and I decided to gamble, try and flop a set, and it came queen, jack, X, and she went all in, and I folded, and she had kings, it turned out. So there's nothing wrong there. And then I just can't get anything going, and I'm rebuying, and I open jack 10, and a couple people call, Taffo calls on my left, and someone calls on my right, and it comes ace, king, queen, rainbow. Fucking beautiful. And there are two ways you can play this. In the middle, in a sandwich, as the preflop raiser, it's going to look strong, even if you're me, and you just barrel off here. So I prefer to check it over to Taffo and hopefully he has an ace, or better would be even better. But he checks back. I'm still not convinced that he doesn't have an ace, because he would think about bluffing. He would at least think about bluffing if he didn't have an ace. And he didn't. He just checked back immediately, and that's often pot control top pair. So I'm going to hopefully get a blank on the turn. I did. And I'm going to check it again. He's going to bet, and then I'm going to tell a story that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for value to him that I would have checked twice with a good hand. And this is what you want to do. You want to tell stories to get your opponent to do what you want. And so now it's time for him to bet his top pair for value protection, all that shit. And then after whoever folds, I check raise. Why? I've got the crazy... If I don't have a crazy image, I can't take this line. I probably have to check call here. But I got the crazy image always. So I check raise, and he calls quickly. And I know he has an ace, and I'm going to bet massive on the river. Well, the river completes a backdoor flush draw. So I can no longer bet massive, and so I have to go to a value size, and I bet it, and he hates it, but he calls with top pair. And so played this hand well, ran very well on the flop. If the river was a brick, I was going to maybe just ship it. Just really sell the fucking crazy guy shit that is warranted. I ship it all the time with shitty hands, and so why not with the nuts as well on occasion if it's going to look fishy. So that was nice. And then I had another fucking malfunction where I had a queen seven suited and EFAN squeezed huge to 1100. And I just fucking thought, man, this guy has seven deuce here, because we play the seven deuce bounty game. And then you're thinking, well, what? I have a seven. This is so often in spots where someone's polarized to where they have a good hand or they might have seven deuce. If I am blocking seven deuce with a deuce or a seven, I fold. And that's enough for me to, you know, in those tough spots. In here, I did that because I had a seven, but his sizing was so egregious. It was just bad, and he had seven deuce. And this is a play. This is a hand I navigate correctly 9 out of 10 times, and this was the 10th time I folded. It's not the end of the world. No one else called him, but this is my edge in poker, is reading people and selling, having them read me incorrectly. And then, you know, with the stories I tell and the subliminal shit I do, and coming up with good plans in a hurry. Not perfect plans. Perfect plans would take too long. Perfect plans would require tanking. That would kill the game. You can't kill the game. You got to keep the game flowing if you want to make money. So you have to make less than optimal decisions, sizing, whatever else. But they have to be good, and you have to come up with them on the spot, and then you have to execute. And I think I would call here 9 out of 10 times, and I folded. So just off my game. Is the best way to say it. And then I wrote, how the fuck does Margot always have huge pairs? Just, I haven't been watching back. Last time when I was running bad or playing bad, I watched back and she just always had kings or aces. And seems like she always has kings or aces. How is that even possible? All right, we've got a bomb pot. I have king 10. Comes king 9-7. I bet. EFAN raises and I fold. And he had king 7. So that's a good play. And I'm going to take another sip of coffee. Always a good play. Okay, then I flopped an open ender, and I called the flop, and I had to fold the turn because Dr. David Namark punted. He had no equity, and he just went for it, and when I watched back a bunch of the show, this guy was bluffing incessantly, and no one knew it. We all just thought he was running hot. It's fucking great. He just used his image, the professional. He's a psychiatrist, a well-established psychiatrist, and dressed nice, and he's just punting off with the most random hands, and people are just folding. It's great. He really did well for himself when I watched it back. Well, I had to fold because he got out of line here, and someone had something, and I think they shoved on him, but it's just one of those things where if he just checks his no equity hand in position, maybe I bink that straight against a good hand and whatever. Now something really weird happens that I'm not upset about. Someone raises, we all call, and it comes 8-3-3, two clubs, and I have an 8, and I think I had 10-8, and Haley Ocho leads into the field on 833, two clubs. The rule is no one leads trips here. They just don't. They lead hands that need protection or they lead draws. So I have an eight. It gets to me, I raise for value. And she calls. And I'm just going to play this as I'm going to target the hell out of flush draws. The turn's a brick. She checks. I bet, you know, not huge, but plenty. She calls. The river's a brick. Okay, now time to check. After she checks, I check back, and she had 3-4. She flopped trips. You don't see this at this level. You do not see people leading trips. And this is more variance, whereas the queen six was a brutal punt. I punt all the time, but normally they're hard to field because I sell things well. I come up with great plans. I didn't. And I folded the queen seven when I should have called. And so I have butchered plenty of hands, but here I don't mind my play at all because I played against the rule. The rule is she doesn't have trips here. She doesn't have a strong hand when she leads in the field. She has a hand that needs protection, and she's going to fold that. Even if she has me beat, even if she has ace eight, she's going to fold that on the turn. And because I have an eight, but, you know, it just seems like she's going to fold it on the turn. It's a five-way pot. She's not going broke with one pair. And more likely, she has a flush draw. And so I'm going to protect against that on the turn. But she just led with trips, something no one does. So if she's leveling, it's fantastic play. Doesn't matter. The result is it's a fantastic play because I never see it. I don't see anyone lead with trips. I don't. And so she won a nice pot, and she is crushing. She had aces against kings. She had ace king against kings and won, and she flopped trips here, and she just is having the best hand a lot. And this is live poker in general, and this is the Max Payne Monday game. A lot is whoever has the best hand, the strong hands, wins. And, you know, fuck, that one I don't feel bad about because I did what I do. I play against the rule. The rule is they're not leading trips into the field. They're just not. So then I had to go get more money. I came back. And I had limped dark, and Haley in the two seat raised to 200, and I don't know, maybe four people called, and I looked down at queen three offsuit, and I looked over her stack, and it's super deep. She has been running like God, and does she want to battle right now? And if I get through her, I'm likely getting through the rest. I went to 1200. They all folded. This is a good play. I won about $1,000 for no good reason other than I went after an opponent that's going to be probably going to be fairly risk averse. And if they're not at the top of their range, then I print. And that's what I did with the queen 3-0. Then I squeeze. This hand is a fucking nightmare. I squeeze with ace 4 of diamonds and sashimi calls. And it comes 8 deuce 3 rainbow with one diamond. So I have a gut shot. I probably have the best hand against sashimi, and I bet small, and she check raises. This tells no story. Check raising on 8-2-3 rainbow. It says she's bluffing. So this is easy continue, and I had a twinge in my brain. Just shove now because you're out of position. I'm not out of position. I'm in position. But just your hand's vulnerable. So just shove now and fold out her equity because she made it 2,000. And I decided, no, like, I'm going to play poker. I'm not scared of the deck. And, so I called. The turn is an interesting card. It's the 4 of spades. It gives me a pair. It makes a 5... no longer my dream card, because then a 6 would make a better straight. It brings a flush draw, and she goes to punt, and instead she bets 3K. And when she does this, I'm sitting right across from her. I know she loves this card. I know she fucking loves this card, and she has maybe 4K behind. am I really going to send it all in here with second pair? And I just knew she loved that card a lot. So I thought she turned a straight. I thought she had 6-5 and just turned a straight. And I'm not giving her all the money. And I folded and she showed me queen 7 of spades. I think this is just a combination. This is more variance than it is bad play by me. The squeeze is fine. Ace 4 of diamonds. 8 deuce 3. She check raises. I'm never folding. No. Rainbow? No. And maybe when she made a 2K with 7 behind, you could think about jamming in here. You have equity in case you're wrong. There was a diamond out there. And I think calling in position is fine as well. And then the 4 comes, which kind of ruins my gut shot. It gives me a pair I don't care about. And I'm a reader of people. And I can tell she loves this card. I can tell she slows down. Her sizing gets smaller than what she was thinking of betting. And I just can tell she loves this card. So I fold. And she loves it because she picked up a flush draw. And that's how it goes. So it's not going well. And I just am card dead for a while and missing flops. And I'm due for a session like this, of course. But you just start wondering, fuck, man. If I just played a few of these other hands better, would she have check raised with queen 7 there? Would she check the turn trying to take a free card? There is momentum. And it's clear to everyone that I'm off my game on this night. And it's because I'm in the ninth seat where you can't cheat. No, it's just because I'm off my game. But we'll talk about the ninth seat in a second. I need another sip of this coffee. It's too good. So, another time, Sia gets the best of me where I know what she has. She has a small pair. I have king, queen on an ace, 8-3, 2 diamond, flop. She bets small, both Sashimi and I call, turns a brick, check, check, river's a diamond. They checked me, I bet 2,000. I didn't sell this well at all. Sia does want to call me very light in general. Sashimi folded an 8 and Sia called with 7s. And again, I knew what she had and doesn't mean I get to win. And I was mad when I watched this back and I wrote in my notes, she looks old. I was just being funny in my notes. Just being mean. She doesn't look old. But it'll be interesting. Our battles ahead will be very interesting. She's gotten my attention. I probably just underestimated her, and that's how it goes. And I just have nothing for a while, and I'm tilting. And then we do a worst play and a best play each time. And Trevor writes, to set the scene for the best play, very little has gone right over the course of the first 3 hours of the stream. Sia in particular has gotten the best of us in multiple spots, calling when we were bluffing and folding when we had her beat. I didn't see any big folds, but I'll take his word for that. I skip ahead and sometimes you miss hands. We're down around 11,500 at this point. Why and how? That's what I wrote. Went into relaxed, jelly brain, and I did something. I succumbed to peer pressure. They wanted to do a shot of kamikaze, and I don't do shots at the poker table. Historically, it's very bad for me to do a shot at the poker table. I like to sip, and I did a shot, and that took me off my game even more. And I just, I'm the opposite of locked in. Sometimes I'm locked in, and you saw that on Halloween against Schwann. And you've seen it against Rampage when I made good folds. Sometimes I'm locked in and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes you have to guess and sometimes you guess correctly. You know, I am not locked in and not guessing correctly. So this is a tough session. Also, I caught a bunch of shit after this Jack 4 offsuit bullshit for sitting in the 2-seat. I thought it was the fishiest. I thought they were trolling me, but they weren't. So I went to the 8-seat. I won 4 times in a row in the 8-seat. No one said a word about the 8-seat. I went back to the 2-seat because that's where I prefer to sit. That's where I'm most comfortable at the table. I do organize this game, so I do a lot of stuff. Do you need this? Do you need that? I can look out. I can wave to the floor man. I can wave to Tita. I kind of run the game, and the 2-seat is a good spot for it. And I went back there, and I ran like God. And then I won. And so then it's like, okay, I'll just go to a different seat. I'll just try another seat. Here are the rules for the seats. I could never sit in the 3 or 7 if there's a choice. If I eventually start playing bigger and they put me in the 3 or 7, you know, it's random. You got to take it. But for this game, I talked to the producer a while back when Patrick Curran worked for us. And I asked him about like the cameras and the seats. And I asked Ryan Feldman too. And the 3-seat and the 7-seat are the hardest ones for the camera to capture. I think because the dealer's big head is in the way or something. I don't know why. But the 3 and the 7, it's difficult to get them. And I learned this when I had Rampage in the 7-seat. And they said, no. It's too hard to get the camera on him. He's going to be in a lot of pods. He's the featured player. And I said, oh. Said, can we put him in 4, 5, or 6? Sure, put him wherever. And I think he played in 5 that day. So that's when I learned about, I take this very seriously, this show. It's a challenge. The 10-20 game was crusty. It was crusty when I started playing it. Some nights they couldn't even get the straddle on. And so we've done a lot to brand it and the hype videos and whatever else. So I can never be in the 3 or 7 because I play more than half the hands. And so those just aren't even possible. The 4, 5, or 6 are for the featured players. I'm not trying to make this show about me. I'm trying to be the architect of this show. So we're going to put Margot there. We're going to put, you know, David's a player that's not on there. Put him in there. And Sashimi is the superstar of this show. And I'm going to continue to do what I can to make her just a star in the poker world. I think she gets it. I think she's doing things the right way and is good for the game and all that. So anyways, I'm not going to be in the 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. I'm not going to be a featured player. I'm not trying to make this about me. And I'm not a tight player. So it's 1, 2, 8, or 9. The 1-seat, I just can't, like, I can't see really like my opponents as well. And so it's 1, 2, 8, or 9. I've done 2 and 8. I'm comfortable in both. Okay, it's time to go to 1 or 9 because just to show people how stupid this seat thing is. Well, I sat in the 9 before. You also can't, it's just uncomfortable for me. You just have to like really turn your head to look at someone. And most of the times I got owned on this night was by the 8-seat, Sia, but it's uncomfortable for me to, I'm not going to turn and stare at her in a hand. That's the worst shit there is. Whereas if I can just see her without turning my head like a weirdo, then I can like both read her better and sell stuff better like I did the week before when I ran a nice bluff on her. So I don't know. It's the 2, 8, 1, or 9 for me, and I really don't like the 1 or 9. Maybe I'll be back there. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying to appease, conspiracy theorists, but it gets old being attacked on the internet for no reason, and it gets confusing when people like Parag Friedman, who he's a legend of the game, and he's got a big reach, and he's fucking blasting this nonsense, it gets old. And so that's why I put myself in the 9-seat. And I really wasn't comfortable there. That's another thing. I just wasn't comfortable. Just certain seats you're not comfortable in. I'm never comfortable in the 5-seat at a poker table. And there's certain poker rooms you're not comfortable in. And I don't know. Maybe I'll just put myself back in the 9 until I get comfortable there and start fucking everybody up there. I don't know. It's to be determined. But yeah, when Sia, I'm playing against Sia, I'm like looking straight because I don't want to turn and look at her. Like we're fucking 1 foot apart. It just seems weird. So anyways, it's time for the best play per Trevor Savage. I don't think this was my best play, but the rule is he gets to call it. At 346.53, Sashimi raised to 140. Sia 3-bet to 400. Both of these, the open and the raise are going to be wide. And I 4-bet to 1400 with A7 offsuit. This is street poker. This is let's fucking go. I'm in position. I'm stuck and steaming. And now I'm ready to focus. Finally, you know, hopefully it's not too late. And I said, you guys are all, this is what happens. You'll have an off night. You say, okay, we're playing all night and I'll get unstuck by 3 a.m. And if you're a Patron, you'll find out what happens after. But anyways, I go to 1400. Sashimi folds and Sia calls. Ace 10, 4, rainbow. Sia checks. I bet 700 into, you know, 3,030 and she calls. So we have 4430 in there. I'm targeting the same hands she always has, these fucking little pairs. And the turn's a 4. That's a good card. It's a way ahead or way behind spot. She checks. I sell it. I check. River's a 10. So ace, 10, 4, 4, 10. I have ace, 7 offsuit. And I bet half pot. And she calls with pocket eights. And my hand's good. So I think this is more variance than sure, I executed. I got max value, I think, against eights on ace, 10, 4, 4, 10. But really, I just made the best hand, which is nice. The hand I played against Sashimi the first time, I had ace 4 offsuit and I got her to punt and then she didn't even realize she made a straight. I think that was my best play. I think I started playing much better at this juncture, although I was tilted. And then I made second nut flush against Sandman's nut flush and I lost a big pot there. And that's just a cooler, I think. And Trevor writes, losing most hands, including tons of tilting ones, like Toffo bluffing with 7 deuce on the turn and rivering a pair and still bluffing. And we call with pocket 4s on king, queen, deuce, king, 7. So this was probably my best play if the ace 4 offsuit against Sashimi early on wasn't. I called down with 4s. I don't think I'm a station, especially with little pairs, I'm not. Hands that can't improve, that are really hard to improve, I don't hero call with them. I had a stone read that he was blasting on king, queen, deuce, king. And then I got rivered by, you know, he could catch a 7 or a deuce. And that's, 5 outs. And that's another 90%er. And it wasn't the hugest pot, but it was a sizable pot. And that was the, you're turning it around. You're taking this shit to the streets. You're cold four betting A7 offsuit, and you're reading the board and not reading the board, but you're reading the fucking hand well and execute. And now here we go. We make a good call with 4s, and he rivers a 7. Okay, and now it's time for my worst play, and I'm on board with this worst play. 4:39:29. So there's 30 minutes of intro. We're 4 hours into the show. Sia raises the hijack to 120. And we got pocket kings next to act. We go to 400, as we've been doing all night. Folds around to her. She calls. 9-7-4 rainbow. 930 in the pot. She checks. Okay. You have to know when your image is such that you don't have to take your normal sizings. I can bet way more now with kings on 9-7-4 rainbow because I have lunatic image. I'm steamed up. Bet 700. She calls. There's 2330 in there. The turn is a 10. 9-7-4 rainbow 10. She checks. I bet 1100. She raises to 5100 with 3700 behind. What the fuck? First instinct is fold. But then I did the think long, think wrong. Why the hell is she raising to 5,100? This is such a massive check raise. If she's going to have 15K behind, okay, then it can make some sense. She's raising to 5,100 with 3,700 behind. I doubt she was intentionally leveling me, but she leveled me. This doesn't make sense. Did she just turn a parent open-ended is where my head goes. And if she had a set, would she be raising to this amount? If she had top two, would she be raising this amount? Those are the hands you're most worried about. I don't think so. But she shows up with a weird two pair, 10-7. And I get it. She's scared of if I have a 10, like a hand like 10 jack, she could lose easily, or you know, this hand's just a lot weaker than 10-9, and or it's weaker. And fuck. It's a tough one because at this point I'm starting to give her more credit as a poker player. Or I shouldn't say her. The bot. And I have kings here. Where does that put me in my range? It puts me pretty fucking far up. Way up. Not the top. Of course, I could have two pairs straight or set. But way up there. If I fold here, it's very exploitable. And it's me giving her no credit as a poker player. Or I shouldn't say no credit, but not a ton of credit. And I probably should have folded. She is a good poker player. It's a good poker player. But the thing is, in this, if you have lunatic image, is anyone really semi-bluffing you there? That's the thing. And Trevor's right. She's just not semi. She's not turning a pair and a straight draw. She's not check raising to 5,100 there. She's check calling, given my image in that moment. So yes, she has no bluffs. And that sucks when you're up against, you know, people have no bluffs. Like, what the fuck? I always have bluffs. And she has none there because she's not capable, but because my image is so steamed up. And I'm aware of this. That's why I bet 700 on the flop. That's why I bet, you know, you're trying to use your image. And I just fucking leveled myself, or she leveled me, intentionally or not. The sizing is just so fucking bizarre. It worked. I just jammed. She had 10-7. And yes, I could bink, but not on this night. Trevor wrote, it's hard to figure out a worse play when everything seems to be going wrong. He says, I think I make this fold in, like I did against Rampage when he had a set a few weeks ago. And he said, given your image, she's far more likely to just call again with hands like pair plus straight draw than she is to raise those hands. So he's right. And then I have nub stack left. I go on stage with 26K and I sell 25% on state kings to patrons at a certain level. And looks like they're going to lose for the first time in a long time. I think since I started selling on state kings, I've won easily 90% of sessions on stream. This doesn't look like it's going to be one. I got a nubber left. The straddles are on huge. I have maybe 2,500 or something. And Sandman opens, and I could definitely just jam queen 10 off suit. But I decide to just call, play a little poker. I flop top pair plus flush draw. This is easy. Jam it in there. Well, Taffo flopped the nut flush. So 30 minutes left in the show, and I've lost all 26K. And brutal. I can't reload until the show's over due to the State Kings thing. And so I do a walk-off. I put my mic on the little wall, and I walk out with my beer, and you'll hear what happens next in the next drop. But it's time to check, in the Patron-only drop. I don't spew my life story to the public. The public, I don't trust. I just don't trust. I don't trust. I don't want them to have my art, my content. They can have this poker shit. That's it. But anyways, let's check out the countdown 2023 scoreboard. After week 45 of 50, we're 90% of the way through our journey. That is season 5 of Sessions. That is the year 2022. So I'm going to take a big pug of this coffee and we'll run through it. Hours. Played 15 hours this week. So we have 769 hours on the year. Our goal for the year is 750. So we're already ahead of that. The rest is gravy. We are going to hit this goal. You cannot lose hours that I know of. So feels good. There are four goals. And if you hit all four, you're going to hit the one goal that decides if this podcast lives on or not. And that's, you'll see. So one of 4 hours, we're there. We already beat it. We put in way more hours than we thought we could this year. And that's great. Wins. This is a tougher one. Every session we win, get 5 points. Every session we lose, minus 5 points. And it is important, I think, to set goals for yourself. If you, especially if you are in a rut, and I've been in a rut for years, and if you're trying to make a really tough comeback, you got to measure it, I think. So a win is 5, a loss is minus 5. I lost 2 sessions and won 1 this week. So minus 5 points. That gives us 225 points on the year, and we are right on pace in the quest to get to 250. Want to win 2 out of 3 sessions all year on average? Well, we've won 90 and we've lost 45. And so these are including sessions on the casino floor as well and after stream sessions. So we've won 90 and we lost 45. And I'm not a poker pro anymore. I'm not. I love so many other things more. I love content. I love providing an escape. I love helping people get through shit. I love building community. I'm a retired poker pro. Winning 2 out of 3 sessions is just fucking fine for me. And I don't do the stuff to go into sessions. Like this session, I actually went in rested, but I went in with a jelly brain because, well, the patrons know why. And the next line is, so we don't know how we're going to do in the second of 4 lines. The third line is patrons. We've been crushing this one most of the year, and then it's taken a hit. This quote-unquote scandal has been awful for my business. And yeah, so let's just, and then Patreon itself is not, I don't know what's going on over there. They just seem like a company that just doesn't have much of a future. I don't know. Maybe they do, but they just seem a little bit more about, you know, profits now than long-term shit. I don't know, but I got 3 deletes. Okay. And then Joshua signed up, Penny signed up, and Ronaldus Maximus went to $51 a month and sent me a nice note. Thank you very much. Then we got a delete, and then Vicky signed up. I don't know if that's Miss Vicky May in the chat. Maybe it is. I like to think it is. Thank you, Vicky, whoever you are. Then I got a delete. And then Peg Leg signed up at $51 a month. $51 a month is the key. That's a very good tier of Patron. You get all the content at 422. You also get a forum at 422, dgfcommunity.com. Same as 2+2, but without the shitheads. And then at 844, the next one up, you get Slack, and that's social media and with people like yourself, you know, not like minds, but like hearts all over the world. And then the next one up, you get poker, rake-free poker. I run home games, they go every day. Silent Sound Guy runs it for me. I should give him some props. And I don't make a penny. I haven't made a penny off them. And we started them during the pandemic. And there is rake to pay for the Poker Bros cost. And the rest goes into putting people in the main event. And it's really cool when people who never would get to play the World Series Poker main event, probably because they're family people or whatever it is, they get to play it. And then the whole community has a piece of them. It's a beautiful thing. So that's a good tier. The next one up is you can sports bet and neutral EV, and that's the shit. So all these are very plus EV, but at 51, you get all that and you get to buy pieces of me when I play on stream. And look, I lost 26,000. So How's that? No, but I can't, I don't even know how much I've earned for people who bought a piece of me on State Kings. It's a lot. And so even with this big setback, or no, I've won over 26. I've won fucking 40 one time that wasn't even on the sheet that those fucking, you know, conspiracy theorists on the internet were posting. They missed my biggest session, those fucking idiots. And yes, I was in the two seat. So Nathaniel also signed up. We netted one patron. That's not the growth we're looking for. That's 4 points. You get 4 points for every patron you add, and minus four for everyone that cancels or their card goes bad. So we have 584 points on the year. The pace is 540, but we were well over. The goal is 600. We were well over that before this scandal. And this is another tight one. I don't know. We're trending towards maybe we won't hit that goal. I really don't know. We're 44 ahead of pace, but we were 200 ahead of pace or more than that a while back. And just an interesting year, but most of them are. So number one, hours, we beat it. Two, wins, we're right on pace. It's anyone's ball game. Three, patrons, we're ahead of it, but we're training the wrong way. Anyone's ball game. The fourth one, we're getting whacked in. That's Poker Rags. That's my startup. I've poured a lot of time, energy, and money into this, and it's had good moments and bad moments, and I'm not giving up on it, but I do need to see, you know, it's a sponsor for my podcast, and I haven't been paid for it, but in months, but I could, so I have to be smart. My podcast is fairly popular, and if this is going to be a sponsor, I need to see some results and people buying my merch. If you go on PokerEggs.us and click on Team PokerEggs, click on DGAF. Anything off of my pages is a point. And Chili Dog and Vista ordered two things. Thank you very much, Chili Dog. And so we got 2 points in the week. We have 92 on the year. The pace is 381. Yikes. So we are, what, 289 points behind pace in the quest to get 423. So we're way behind here. So what to do about that? Because if all four of these numbers add up to 2023 or more in the next few weeks, well, then there will be, I'll do a sixth and final season of sessions where I will fucking complete the comeback all the way, 100% out of debt, and start working towards bigger and better things in life. That would be a nice ending to this story. So the biggest opportunity, yeah, I got to work. I got to keep booking wins. I got to stay focused at the table. I got to do some things to get my more patrons. I don't know, and then Poker Rags, I have to come up with a way to get more points here. And I think I have. I am coming up with two designs. One is a design that will go on my page. It says, Nits Die Alone. And that sounds harsh, but it's true. And I don't mean tight poker players. I don't mean that. I mean people that only take and don't give. They die alone. They don't get it. There's no long-term satisfaction being selfish, self-absorbed, all that. And they're just, beyond that, they're a problem. All take and no give is a mathematical problem in a relationship, in a community, in the world, in humanity. It is. So Nits Die Alone is a shirt I want to make. And I don't know if anyone will buy it. But it'll be a new design. And then the other new design has to do with my workplace, Hustler and Hustler Casino Live. And this will not be on my page. It'll be on the High Stakes Poker Production page. And it's going to be an HCL family design. And I have Raver working on it. He's almost done with it. It's going to have the same neon look that the Hustler Casino Live design has that pops on a black shirt. And it's going to say HCL family. And I won't get any revenue for this, but I will get great satisfaction every time someone purchases one. it will go towards the company, it'll go towards Ryan and Nick, but more than that, it's time to say, like, if you're not with us, you're not with us. And we're building something beautiful in Gardena, California. And it's a rocket ship. And it's gotten so big, so fast, due to so many reasons, starting with Ryan and Nick. And when you build something that's beautiful, people are going to want to take shots at it. And you've seen that. And when an opportunity arises, maybe there was cheating in one hand, or maybe one new player was involved in cheating. I don't know. I don't know either way. But that's the allegation. And how did that allegation turn into everyone against all of us? And so it's time to kind of band together the people that really love this show. I love this show a lot. And an HCL family design, just to kind of like, okay, it's time for us to, you know, band together and fuck you to the haters. So I think that design will come out soon. I have a feeling it'll sell very well. I won't make any money off of it, but I'll feel very good about it. That's better than money. Some people don't get that ever. I got that a long time ago. And yeah, we'll see. But overall, on the countdown to 2023, we got 16 points this week. That's pretty paltry. We have 1,670 on the year. The pace is 1,821. We're 151 behind that, trying to get to 2023. I think we're a slight dog, but I have a good feeling about this design coming out. And I'm going to hit stop on GarageBand, and I'm going to hit up Raver and ask him where the design is, and we'll see what happens. Until next time, peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.